Okay. As Stacy said, my name is Angela Giuliano. I work with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources as a research statistician. So as part of my job duties, I participate in the science and management process for a number of state-managed species, including striped bass and cobia, as a member of various ASMFC, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission's technical and stock assessment subcommittees. And I also represent Maryland as a member of ACCSP's Recreational Technical Committee. Don't know if that's on my end or not.
We're a little bit of feedback.
Other people hearing. Okay.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit of feedback. It sounds like from somebody typing. So if everybody could just please be sure to mute themselves, we'll let Angela continue. Thank you, Angela.
Yeah. As Stacy mentioned, this was kind of last minute, so I don't have a PowerPoint prepared, but I will walk through some of the current uses. And when it switched to ASMFC, it switched to numbers of fish just because of the uncertainty and some of the weight estimates being encountered. So this is really recent. Coming up next week, actually, I guess, is the first time some of these recreational regulations that have been put in place under the system will be reviewed. So that's new and one way that the states have been using the MRIP data currently. Another example recently has been striped bass. Striped bass in their last assessment were determined to be overfished with overfishing occurring. And so all the states on the coast had to take reductions, commercial and recreationally. While the state level or the coastwide MRIP data was used by the plan development team to propose some alternative recreational regulations for the coast, our state opted to submit what in the commission calls conservation equivalency. So rather than go around with the state, the coastwide measure, we came up with options specific to Maryland using Maryland MRIP data. And ultimately, with the regulations we put in place, that we were using wave and mode level data. And for Maryland specifically, MRIP data, it's a little bit interesting because Virginia probably has this too, but you know, there's often different regulations for Chesapeake Bay versus the coastal and ocean areas. But in MRIP, all of that is considered inland. And so while we've made some attempts to look at Chesapeake Bay separately, there aren't currently methods available using the public data sets to estimate the PSCs at some of those smaller post-stratifications. And so what we normally tend to do is assume that all inland harvest in Maryland is from Chesapeake Bay. It tends to work out pretty well for striped bass, that assumption, as only about 3 to 5% of the catch striped bass harvest is coming from the coastal bays. And additionally, in this case too, we had to be a little creative with the use of the MRIP data due to our seasons, as well as our management was interested in doing some season closures for parts of waves. So obviously that involved using smaller amounts. And I think this differs in ASMFC depending on what species and what the technical committee feels is most appropriate. For striped bass, we ended up just assuming equal catch for every day of the 2-month wave to do those sorts of estimations. And while some of those PSCs at those smaller modes for striped bass in Maryland were still less than 30%, which is generally considered pretty good, we did have a lot of questions from our stakeholders about our use of the data in those ways. So those are just a couple examples. We also have used alternative data sources and methods. So in the past, similar to states like North Carolina, Maryland had paid to increase the APIS sampling, specifically for 2009 through 2011. At that time, the contractor was still conducting the APIS sampling, and we never really had great luck with it at that time, mainly because part of it was, you know, by the time the feds had their contractor in place and Maryland was going through their own contracting procedures, we never really got the full doubling of APIS sampling that we hoped for. It would often, by the time everything was in place, we might get a couple waves or a wave of extra sampling. Additionally, in that timeframe, there are other changes going on. From some of the memos I've seen, I wasn't actually involved at that time, but there were some changes going on with how much sampling was being done in the effort survey, as well as, you know, on the horizon at that time in 2011, you knew the MRIP changes were coming, the APIS redesign. We just haven't continued funding any extra sampling in recent years, which is the current state. I don't know, some of that might be better now if we were to pursue that, given the state now conducts APIS internally. But another alternative data source that we sometimes use for state management is we do have mandatory logbooks for our for-hire fleet. There are a few different license types in Maryland that allow you to take out anglers and run charters. If you don't buy the additional charter boat decal, you're basically required to have all of your anglers on board have their own individual recreational licenses. And so for that reason, most of our fleet does purchase this charter boat decal that basically allows you to charter people without them having to have their own licensing. So we've required paper logbooks for anyone with that charter decal since 1993. And I think a lot of that was with the striped bass fishery reopening after the moratorium. And these reports are due to the department weekly, and they require daily reporting of what was harvested, as well as releases. A lot of captains take one trip a day, so it works out to be trip level reporting, though some captains, if they're running two a day, might be grouping some reports. But the big thing that we've started to transition to, and right now it's just a pilot program, is our fax electronic reporting system. So like I said, it's currently a pilot. And one of the pros of it being a pilot right now is that it allows our participants regulatory flexibility if they volunteer for it. And this reporting system is much more vigorous than what we currently have in place for the paper reporting. So it involves a hail in, hail out system. When they are coming back in, they estimate what time and where they're landing. And part of our pilot for this includes funding for onboard observers, trying to verify discard estimates, as well as some roving monitors to meet them at the docks. And so whereas the paper logbooks, you know, by the time they arrive at the department, get entered, data checked, if there's any issues with those reports, you know, we might be following up with the captain a month out or so. And so fax has really improved our timeliness of data collection. We can follow up with captains in near real time when issues are noticed. And you also don't have any issues with like paper reports, reading handwriting, and you know, sometimes there's errors with what was entered. And by using the electronic system, some of that can get caught ahead of time by limiting what people can enter. And I think our observers and roving monitors have really been useful in providing us information on things we've probably always suspected about our reporting system. You know, maybe people aren't reporting all the species they're harvesting. Particularly, I think we always suspected that with bait, like spot being used for bait that might be caught earlier in the trip and then used for live lining. As well as just, again, some of those discard estimates. I know their goal had been to validate about 10% of those trips. And with the confluence of the system coming online and the striped bass management, for charter boats, the flexibility we gave them if they join this new system was basically that they could harvest two striped bass per angler instead of the one striped bass per angler that the rest of the recreational fleet is under. So we're probably not validating quite as many trips, but that's just because there was way more excitement to enter the program. Like I said, this is the first year. It just started this May. And so that's been exciting. We're also using it as an opportunity to ask for more information. When we were going through the striped bass management process, there was a lot of data on our fisheries we just didn't have information for. For striped bass, a lot of the fish are released alive. But we don't know why. And so it's getting at more of, you know, how people are fishing as well as you know, why they might be released by the charter fleet. Is it because they're sublegal? Are they in poor condition? Were they already at their trip limit? And just more information on chumming, you know, like fishing methods. Were they chumming, trolling? And some of that leads into the ongoing discussions we're having regarding discard mortality and ways to reduce it. And the other great thing about FACS is that we are getting some real-time information on rare event and seasonal fisheries, especially ones that are becoming more popular in recent years, such as cobia and Spanish mackerel and red drum, where they're not in Maryland waters for very long. And because it's such a short pulse fishery, we don't get a great estimate from MRIP. So, and I guess the last piece of information that I wanted to bring up that we use to supplement the MRIP data is our volunteer angler surveys. We currently have volunteer angler surveys for a variety of species, freshwater and saltwater. The tidal ones would include striped bass and shad. We also have a separate volunteer charter survey that we run in the springtime when migratory striped bass are in the bay. And so while all these volunteer surveys are opt-in and don't provide us information on total harvest or releases, they're really critical for our understanding of discard length information. In some cases, it supplements the length information collected by MRIP, though I will say in Maryland, striped bass in particular is pretty well sampled. But this is our only information on recreational discard lengths. I know in the traditional MRIP sampling, they get data from headboats, and there just aren't that many headboats in Chesapeake Bay where these fisheries are occurring. It's mainly charters. And I guess just the last thing I wanted to bring up was kind of regarding some of the new activities we've been doing related with some of this. Some of this echoes the earlier council conversation with what they've been hearing from stakeholders, but especially with recent changes in striped bass management, our stakeholders have really had an increased interest in improving MRIP data. A lot of that probably is tied to the increased harvest estimates from the FES, as well as the idea of recreational accountability. And that recreational accountability, we hear it from both the recreational and commercial sectors about recreational data. Right now, through our Sport Fish Advisory Committee, they've formed a new subcommittee to look at some of these issues. Additionally, a bill was recently passed through our state legislature for us to consider various methods to improve striped bass recreational harvest estimates. Some of the options being considered would be, you know, right now it's just kind of a pros, cons, and feasibility. You know, everything from a census to increasing the MRIP APIS sampling our stakeholders always mention some of the systems that have been developed in the Gulf of Mexico for red snapper. Is something maybe to try emulating. Certainly it's a little bit more complicated up with striped bass just because of the size of the fisheries, I think. But at this point, all that's on the table and being discussed with our stakeholders as well as internally. I also wanted to mention, because it's being conducted in Maryland, but it's actually a Mid-Atlantic Council project being done right now using a video feed at the Ocean City Inlet to document ocean boat effort. So this is kind of a project similar to what is done on the West Coast, particularly in Oregon. Again, that's a pilot project. It just started this spring, and I know the council's still, you know, working on the exact procedures for designating fishing boats and whatnot. But I think that's a really interesting project to see if similar trends are being picked up between the FES and the video project, and you know, if not, what might be the reasons. Some of it's obviously going to be methods, but so that's an interesting project to work for and that watch for. And then lastly, like I said, with discards being such a large component of the striped bass fishery, and I'm sure it's the case for many other recreational fisheries, I guess we're working to supplement some of the MRIP information on, you know, things with updated discard mortality information and information on gear usage, you know, circle hooks and J hooks and, you know, bait, artificial lures, trying to narrow in on how best to reduce discard mortality in our fisheries. And so that's all I have about what's currently going on. like I said, it's definitely been a topic with our state and stakeholders. So.